Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people. This is the Joe from Montana Show. Today is January 10th, 2024, and the topic that we have for tonight are going to be about relationships. They're going to be about why they fail and how to avoid the toxic ones. So, the number to call in is... The number to call in is 646-478-5284. Again, for those on your computers just happening to drive by, the number is 646-478-5284. Okay. Now, the show, Lorianne, did you schedule a show for an hour?
I sure did. Yep, well, hour okay. Live, and then we'll have the bonus hour after that. Yep.
All right. So, at the end of this particular hour, because we'll go into overdrive, about 10 minutes before, I will make announcements as to how you can get a hold of me, get a hold of Lorianne, who has her own show, and if other people show up, and I know that Suzanne is already here, I will be promoting their show. But I won't do it now because, look, when people call in and when people download shows, they don't want to hear 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes of promotion, clips, etc., okay? It bores them, then they leave. So, at the end of this particular hour, about 10 minutes prior, I will be promoting other people's shows and whatever other event might be important to us. Okay, so firstly, let me say thanks to Lorianne of Lucid Libertarian, who is my co-host tonight. She set up the show description page. She's done a lot of the work for tonight's show in terms of writing up that particular page and making sure that the connection here is good because, if you people don't know, BTR has been fucking up like royal lately. Okay, now having said that, let's get into the topic. Why do relationships fail? Lorianne, have you got any particular thoughts on that? I know you and I talked some months ago, last year, as a matter of fact, about unrealistic expectations causing it. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I have a stance of, you know, I think, you know, having reasonable expectations. I think that one of the big reasons why people get into arguments and strife in relationships is because we think that the other person has failed to meet one of our expectations. And the conflict comes when we haven't actually communicated what our expectation is, and then the more important part is having the other person agree to meet those expectations. So when those two things are missing, then we end up getting upset. Somebody does something that we don't like or fails to do something that we expect them to do, and then we get upset about it, you know, but then we have to ask ourselves, you know, gee, did I actually communicate this expectation to my partner? And did my partner say, yeah, that's reasonable, I can agree to that, you know? And so it's taking some personal responsibility over your own expectations. And then when you're ready, I can bring in the caller that's raising their hand in the switchboard, too. Just let me know.
Hello, Suzanne. Sure, anytime. Anytime you're
ready.
You're, okay.
Hi, Suzanne.
How you doing? Hi, nice to meet you.
I'm glad
nice
you can make it. Oh, by the
well.
Way, Lorianne. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, ladies. Do the bonding thing.
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead.
It's okay. Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And I know Joe from, he calls into our show. So excited that I'm actually going to be doing a little bit of co-hosting with you guys, practice, you know, co-hosting. And about relationships,
yeah.
Let's get to the topic. basically, you know, when you have a relationship, you've got to listen. That's the biggest thing, listen. You know, because sometimes your mate really doesn't want, you know, to go through the whole thing. Listen to what they have to say and not interrupt them and stuff like that. I've been learning that for a long time. I'm like 20-something years married. I got to look it up. Yeah, so I've been married for a while now. And I love my husband, you know, immensely. It's not been easy because I have a disability and my health goes up and down. So when you have a good, like tonight I said to my husband, this is just a little thing. I wanted Japanese food, right? And he surprised me with Japanese food. I'm like, ooh, that was good. He decided to cook something on the stove and surprise me with Japanese food. So it was awesome. It really was.
Good.
You think of the other person. Go ahead.
No. I'm saying that's good. So go ahead, Suzanne.
Yeah. No, it's like a really, you know, great thing to be with your husband, and he surprises you once in a while. It counts. Every little thing counts towards the relationship. We've been up and down like everybody. We even though it's a disability, I have a disability. We've had our days where I've gone to the hospital so many times. I've been unconscious last year. I mean, things like that, you know, you don't forget because they're your life, you know. And
yeah.
That's basically, yeah, it in a nutshell.
No, it's good to see that. What do you think, Lauren? Because since I interrupted the girl bonding thing, so what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, you know, Joe and I had a little bit of a back and forth just recently, and we got to talking about how we listen to people, are listening for other people. And what I mean by that is we listen to certain people in our lives with our own kind of bias, with our, you know, like our own individual headsets and look like a filter. So how we listen to our mother is different than how we listen to our partner and how we listen to our boss or our best friend. And, you know, and sometimes those biases act as like a filter. So, and our emotions are part of it too. You know, like when you're already in a bad mood or something, you didn't get much sleep, whatever, then, you know, one day, you know, your partner can say something to you. And if you're in a bad mood, you know, that filter can cause you to misinterpret it and maybe get upset, you know, because you misinterpreted what they said wrong. And then another day when you're not in a bad mood, they could say the exact same thing and you totally get what they meant, you know. So we have this listening for people that we also have to be taking self-control of. You know, how do I really listen to this person? If we perceive that our partner or our friend or whoever it is that we're, you know, that's saying something to us and our listening for them is they're always critical of me, they're always, you know, thinking negatively. You know, if that's how we perceive that person to be, then that's how we're going to hear them when they say something. You know, so sometimes we have to kind of take control of how we really hear somebody. Like, you know, and I like to use the example of, like, our mothers, for example. You know, your mother might say, you know, hey, it's cold outside. Make sure to, you know, put your sweater on or make sure to wear your coat. Or, you know, make sure to wear a scarf. It's cold outside. And our own biases, you know, where it's like we might be thinking, hey, you know, I'm an adult. It's mom again. She's trying to control me. You know, she's trying to control what I do, what I wear. She's just trying to control me. And so we might be listening to our mother that way. when really, you know, from your mom's perspective, she's basically telling you, I love you and I care about you and I don't want you to be cold and I don't want you to get sick. So wear your sweater, wear your jacket. So that's kind of what I mean about how you listen to people, if that makes sense. And so, you know, that comes into every kind of relationship that we have, whether it's with our partner, whether it's, you know, our best friend versus an acquaintance, with our boss. You know, if you already have a judgment about somebody, about how they are as people, then that's, you know, you already have this filter in place, and everything that they say is going to be filtered through your perception. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
No, it does.
Very much. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
yeah, what I want to do, I want to outline what my reasons are for why relationships still. And then, of course, from there, we can extrapolate from what I've said, or we can continue with this particular filtering type of discussion, because that's also relevant, or anything else that you have to say, Suzanne. But right now, I want to just outline what my reasons are. And then get your opinion.
Okay.
Or, all right? So,
yeah, sounds good.
What makes relationships fail? Okay, now, Lorianne was not filtering, but I want to go a little deeper than that. Firstly, we had mentioned before unrealistic expectations. If you have expectations, now, when Lorianne was describing that, she was also talking about expectations that you agree upon. I would say generally, 99% of relationships do not have that. In other words, they don't agree upon, well, this is what I expect from you, this is what I expect from you. However, for the past few years, and I've said this in other shows, what I've done is tell people about what I've called my questionnaire, my pros and cons. Take out a sheet of paper at any time during the relationship or even on the first date, if you really use that as a kind of discrimination type of, and to use Lorianne's word, filter. And then you write down what you like about each other. And on the first date, you're not going to do that very comprehensively. But you write down what you like about each other. You write down what you don't like about each other. You write down deal breakers. And you write out scenarios which could happen in the future, of which you two could have arguments over. For example, if I'm in bed at and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have to get up at 6 to go to work, and you have a flat tire an hour away from me, and you call me, what do you expect me to do? Go out there, change the tire, or what? These kind of things you have to have discussions about. You'd be surprised the answers I've gotten from people when I've talked to them about this. So that's one, unrealistic expectations. The other one is fear of rejection. When you have an excessive fear of rejection based upon trauma, then you're not going to react and act well in the relationship because you're always looking for rejection around the corner. And, yeah, I got to get him or her before they get me, or I've got to protect myself against the possibility, and yada, yada, yada. The other one is you can't apologize. You can't accept responsibility for the conflict. If you can say, yes, I think you're right. I'm at least partially responsible for what is upsetting you or upsetting us. That goes along. But if you can't accept responsibility, your relationship's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, if you're always going to point fingers at somebody, you know, if you're a constant whiner because of trauma, then the relationship is doomed to fail. If you can't apologize because you're afraid of appearing weak, you're not going to apologize. Bang. Relationships fail. If you have a lack of trust, right, that goes without saying. If you don't trust the other person, bang. Also, selfishness. To me, women have this, especially the more beautiful women, have this sense of entitlement that because they were treated as princesses because they were daddy's little girl, and as they were getting older, they were becoming very good-looking, and society caters to them. They have this sense of entitlement that men are here to please you. And there have been celebrities on talk shows who have actually said it. So Nice. That's my skeletal outline. So I'd like to know from either one of you, you know, you can extrapolate from what I've said, continue on with it, or you can introduce something else. But I wanted to say that because the topic of the show is about why relationships fail. And I think I've given the major, deeper, more comprehensive reasons as to why. And now you two have at it. What's your opinion?
Well, I don't mind talking. If you want to talk, you know, just let me know, okay?
No, you go right ahead. This is part of the
okay,
part
go
of
ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, the practice of being a co-host, you know, because I
yeah,
you
I know, because I've now been demoted to an engineer.
Yeah, and you don't get a chance to talk.
No, really.
So I want you
no.
to talk. I want you to feel in case Lorianne cannot make another one of my shows, which might happen this coming Christmas, because, you know, I never put on a show on a regular basis. That if she can't make it, you and if you are, you're available, you should feel free to talk like Lorianne feels free to talk. So you go
right
ahead.
No, no problem.
Oh, by the way, Suzanne can't stay here until past 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
She has her own show to do. So go ahead.
Yeah,
Suzanne,
today. So thank you for inviting me. Just wanted to let you know that people, you know, especially with, I'm going to go the disability route right now. And
sure.
to me, you have to be, you know, listening to the person who's disabled and or listening to the person who's taking care of you. Both are valid, and you got to really, you know, take into mind what the person is feeling, because they might not feel well enough to go and get the car that, you know, that you said earlier with the flat tire. Now, the thing I would do is if I know this about my partner or my spouse for that matter, that he, mm-hmm. you know, is going to, you know, be upset or he's going to actually not feel well, I would get like, you know, those AAA type of things and then just call them to do the tire. You know, it's a lot easier. And it actually, you know, doesn't, you know, take much time or anything like that. You have them come, they do the tire, and that's it. You move on. I mean, that's what they're there for, you know.
Okay, now see, now what you did was wrong, Suzanne, because you acted logically. And you know females don't do that. Okay. Because because I've had this discussion before, and I've had women say to me, okay, first off, what I did not mention was that the woman that I'm involved with, she's telling me she's my equal in all things except physical activities. She is strong and independent, right? And mm-hmm. we've talked about, okay, this is your car. What would you do if you had a flat beforehand? And she would say, first of all, I'll try to change it because, you know, I can change a tire. And mm-hmm. if not, then I'll call it AAA. Okay, now, the additional part of that scenario was 3 o'clock in the morning, you call me. I say to you, okay, well, call it AAA. But, baby, I forgot to make the payment. I didn't make the payment.
Uh-oh.
And then I say, okay, what do you expect from me? Can you come out here and, you know, and fix it an hour away, right, and an hour back here? Got to get up. We talked about it. You're a strong, independent woman. You made the mistake. You called AAA anyway because you don't have to be a member to have them call out, to come out, and I'll stay on the phone. Now, I've said that to women, and they've said, but hey, I'm supposed to be your girlfriend. You know, you're supposed to, you know, if you don't love me, you're supposed to care for me. I say, well, how about you caring for me?
That's right.
We made an agreement. You were going to take care of a problem like that yourself, but you're not. You want me to do the heavy lifting. Why? Because I'm a man. No. You said you can do it. You said you would do it. Do it. And I had women say, you know what? I know I can do it. But I like being treated like a lady. And I said, you're not getting that shit from me.
Sounds like my husband.
So.
It does.
That, you know, that's my. It does, really?
Yeah, it does. He would say something like that.
Yeah, but he go ahead and do it anyway because he's been with you for 20-some odd years. You know about disability. But with something like that. Now, Lorianne, what do you think of a guy that says that to his supposed girlfriend?
Well, like I said, I guess that's, you know, meeting those expectations. You know, if you've previously had that discussion and that agreement, then nobody should be upset, you know. I think it can kind of work both ways, too. Like, okay, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. My car broke down. I have a flat tire. And so I go ahead and I, you know, call for the towing. You know, hopefully I have, you know, towing and flat, you know, as part of my insurance. If not, then you're kind of dumb if you don't at least have that on your insurance policy. But that's besides the point. So I go ahead and I get it taken care of. And suddenly, you know, they come out. They, you know, help me with the flat or whatever. Or maybe I need a new tire. So my car needs to be towed to the, you know, mechanic or whatever. And then I have to get a ride home, you know, because they're not open yet. It's so early in the morning, they're not really open. So just drop my car off and I have to get a ride home. And so then I show up, 1 o'clock in the morning. You're still sleeping, you know, and you get woken up because suddenly I'm coming home. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I got a ride from somebody, you don't know who. And so then you're like, what the hell is going on? Are you going to be upset with me because I didn't bother to call you? Because that can happen. Why didn't you call me? All of a sudden you're rolling up and, you know, strange person dropping you off. What are you doing? You know? So, I mean, it can go both ways. Like the guy might be upset, even though you might already have the agreement, but the guy might be upset that you didn't call him to begin with. You know, why didn't you let me know what's going on, that you got a flat and you got to ride home from a stranger and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I could kind of see that scenario going both ways.
What kind of guys do you know that's going to be so upset over that? If she's got a flat tire and she's gone to the garage because the car has to be towed over there, she naturally has to have somebody drive her home. It could be a strange guy, maybe the mechanic, but if it is, I would be kind of not upset, but I would be kind of suspicious because now if you bring in the additional scenario of there's no taxi, then I say, hey, shit, I don't give a shit. But if she can call a taxi, but she's coming home with a guy from the garage, yeah, not because she didn't call me, but because now she's accepting a ride from a stranger who obviously is interested in her. So, what do you think? I know. Suzanne, now, forgetting...
I've been laughing because some of the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, forgetting you and your husband, let's say you are in that situation and you've had a discussion with me, right?
Right.
And the car breaks down and you do call me, right?
Uh-huh.
And I say, I'm not coming out. What are you thinking?
Yeah. I don't know. That's not I would just call, I hate to say it, AAA, because it'd be avoiding an argument that, you know, you don't want. And then I call AAA, and AAA has the, you know, I had this happen to me once, to be honest, and it was in a handicapped vehicle. I got stuck. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I got stuck in the car itself with this special, it has like, to put on the wheelchair. It's called Easy Lock. I got stuck in it, and I couldn't go anywhere, get out of the car, whatever. It was a horrible mess. I had to park in a what do you call, desolate shopping center. Not the best move that I've done, but I had to wait for the police and, you know, for a tow, because if I went back into that lock, I would be there all night.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah. I had to have my husband come out with a dual thing, you know, because they didn't know where to press the button to release it. And I'm like, okay, so now I got the police, I got AAA, and I got my husband. Boy, do I have a headache.
Yeah, but see, you couldn't help it. that was a situation in which you just couldn't help it because you got locked in. Now, we're talking about, I mean, I don't think, your husband might be irritated because he has to come out there, but he shouldn't have been mad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, irritation, I mean, that's one thing. Oh, God, I got to get up now. I got to get up in the morning. Yeah, okay, that's everything. But to blame you, I hope he didn't do that. The thing is,
no.
is that, good, is that.
It was broken.
I have this opinion that the vast majority of women in the United States feel entitled, and even if they're not 8, 9, and 10s, they want to feel entitled because they want to be treated the same as the 8, 9, and 10s. Therefore, like, what's her name that goes on Donnie's show all the time? Jean. She's mm-hmm. always said, well, you know, I want to be treated like a lady. Okay? You know, it's nice to be treated like a lady. But if you're going to claim you're my equal, you're strong, and you know, what I would love to do is really meet a strong and independent woman who actually means it, who actually is strong and independent. That way, she and I, you know, can talk about, hey, you know, I am not the typical gentleman, okay? You're not supposed to be the typical lady. We're supposed to be two human beings who are responsible, therefore we act responsibly. And we're supposed to communicate, hopefully, effectively, openly, et cetera. So that's one scenario. The other scenario, and this is the stupidest one, is the one about the toilet seat.
No.
Jesus. Do you broads love to make shit out of a toilet seat? You got to keep it down. Well, why? Can't you lift it up? Yes, but I sometimes go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if I know that the toilet seat, you know, if I don't know that the toilet seat is up, kablash. And I say, good, I hope you get your fat ass stuck in the goddamn toilet seat. So I've come up with that. But I think you two know about those particular arguments regarding the toilet seat. Laurie-Anne, have you ever had an argument with a guy over the toilet seat?
Not really. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I just ask them, like, you know, will you just, you know, put the toilet seat down for me, you know, including the lid, because, you know, you're supposed to put it down with the lid when you flush, because that helps keep, you know, the bacteria from wafting up into the air and stuff. It's the more cleanly thing to do.
Right,
but it's something that, you know, it's like, do you agree on it? Do you agree to do that for me? The biggest fight that I had. Okay.
If you make that agreement, do you keep the toilet seat down, keep the lid down all the time? When you have
company.
When I get
done using it,
You do. Okay, and that was a solution that another woman came up with a long time ago, which I agreed with. So you are acting logically in this particular instance. I have another solution to the problem, but go ahead with what you were about to say. I just wanted to find out if you actually kept the lid down, because the lid does keep the germs from spreading. That was one of the solutions. Some women don't like that.
That's how you keep the fecal bacteria off your toothbrush, you know? when I'm done using the toilet, I put, you know, the lid down. I put it all down, and then I flush. But, you know, one fight that I did get into that was probably one of the biggest fights that I had with an ex was I had gone out of town to visit family in Minnesota, and I was gone for almost 2 weeks. And I was living about 2 hours away from the airport at the time. And so, you know, I finally get home after being gone for a couple of weeks, you know, and then the two-hour drive. And so, of course, I had to go to the bathroom by the time I got home, right? And so I get home. I really got to go to the bathroom. I walk in there, and the toilet is absolutely disgusting. I'm talking gross, nasty film on the bottom and dry pee driblets with pubic hairs around the rim.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, I flipped out. I was like, Oh, my God, I just want a clean pot to piss in. Is that too much to ask when I finally get home after being gone for a couple of weeks? I just went off.
I don't blame it.
I made him go in there. I'm like, I'm holding it. You get your ass in there right now and you clean that. I am not going near that nasty-ass toilet. You know?
And I don't blame you. I'm a man, and I have the ability, if I'm making a mess, right, to clean it up.
That's right.
Simple. Clean it up. That's all you got to do. I mean, it's very simple.
It's disgusting.
It is.
It is.
I mean, caked on male excrement, not excrement, but excretions. Holy Jesus Christ. Suzanne, what do you think?
What
have you ever had an argument like that?
What do I think? Well, I have a different issue. It's similar to the toilet seat issue. Okay, I have a special thing that I put over the toilet. So I can't lift it. It's a little too heavy for me. So sometimes it's left off, and I go, hon, can you please come and help me with this? Because he knows I'll drag it across the bathroom floor, and we have some tiles that are coming up. So I was like, no, we're not doing this. We're not dragging it against the floor.
Right.
So, yeah, so he puts it back for me, and it's great. You know, it works out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What is wrong with you, Suzanne? You got problems, and then you solve them in 5 seconds. What the hell? You're not a female.
Eh, I am
you're
a
just
female.
A you're a logical human being.
Yeah, so there you go.
So that's the solution which Lorianne already incorporated, all right? She's already used it. She does it for herself. It is a solution a lot of women don't want to be bothered with. No. Look, no. I like everything up, and I would really appreciate it if you keep the lid up and you keep the regular seat up. And I have another solution other than just saying, well, hasta la vista, bitch, is how about what you keep a nightlight on when you go to bed, when I go to bed, and okay, and you get there, you don't have to have, you know, you want to have a flashlight when you go to the bathroom from the bedroom, but you have a nightlight on, and everybody sees whether or not the lid is down or up, and you can act accordingly. But again, the arguments I've had, I'm not talking about with women who are potential girlfriends, I'm talking about people on BTR, you know, and in particular, and you get into not really violent arguments, but you get into the discussions of back and forth. Here, with you two, problem, solution, 10 seconds later. What? Are you kidding me?
No, I've been married 20-something years, so, you know, I got to look it up how many years it's been. Oh, I'm losing the brain already. So, anyway, yeah, I guess I think logically.
Yeah.
That's news,
you know,
to me right now.
Oh, yeah, well, your husband's going to say something different, I'm sure, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, I forget there's another common situation that men and women get themselves into, and, what would you do? Okay, now this is about the entitlement. This is about how women love drama. I remember two dates now that women opened up their mouths to people because one day was at the movie, and behind us were a couple of about three or four guys in the group, and they were talking back and forth and making noise and stuff like this. This is before the movie started, and the lights were on. But so I look at them. They don't see me. I look at them, and I say to her, when the movie starts, that, these people shut up. You know what the fucking broad does? She turns around, looks at them, and says, hey, up there, can't you keep quiet? I say, hey, keep your mouth. I just say, keep your mouth shut. I say, do you mind? You know? I mean, they could come down here and kick my ass, not yours. Okay? So that was one situation. I just escaped my head. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Day with this chick. We were at the club. And I've got her close to me. And we're kissing. And we're on steps inside the club, and down at the bottom of the steps are some people. And I say, you know what? I might want to go and get us a drink. How about that? And she goes, hey, okay. She points her face towards those people, and she says, hey, guys, come move. I go, excuse me. I will take care of it when I go down the steps, and I will ask them politely to move. Thank you. You know, don't need you doing the drama thing. But the scenario that I made up was this. Supposing you, either one of you or anybody listening, you're a female, you're with your boyfriend, or you're on a date, and you're at a club, and a drunk comes up to you, pats you on the ass. What do you expect your boyfriend to do? Okay?
He'd flip out.
Me, I would tell you my answer, but I'd like to know your answer from both, Lorianne and you, Suzanne. Who wants to go first?
Okay. I guess me, because I might have to get to the other show soon. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly. Yeah, I want to give you the floor as much as possible, since I know that your time here is limited.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish it was a little longer.
Oh, no
but
problem.
I have to start the show.
Well, you're the engineer, don't you know?
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, a lot of things when I have, you know, my husband, he's a great person. He really is a great person deep down in his heart. And he loves me. We never go to bed, you know, angry at each other. That's the key. Because if you go to bed angry, you never know if anybody doesn't wake up the next morning. And then you'd regret what you've done. So that's my, you know, little saying about, you know, people when they should be, you know, with the other person and be nice and know what the other person needs. Because that's important all around, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you all go to bed angry. But
no.
Supposing, I remember hearing that advice many years ago. But supposing you were in a club, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even though you're disabled, you can still be in a club and enjoy dancing. I mean, in a wheelchair, and your husband can be here with you. And some guy comes over to you, and he's drunk.
He touches my butt.
And he says, hey, you know, hey, babe, you want to buy, dance with you? You know, hey, you know, how about that? You know,
I'd be like, don't touch me, girl. You'll lose your hand.
Well, you wouldn't. Okay. Would you say that to him?
I might. It depends on how much they violated me.
Well, no, they don't touch you. They just,
okay.
In this instance, because you're in the wheelchair. So, but let's say they touch you on the shoulder. All right, they're not going to touch your ass, okay? So they touch you on the shoulder. Guy's got a drink in his hand. He's obviously drunk. He wants to dance with you. What do you expect? Well, I don't want to put you on the spot because you are married and you have a husband. I don't want over the airwaves.
Oh no, he's cool. He's a cool guy. He really is. But I got to tell you the exact opposite that happened. My husband and I were in a bagel shop together, and this one woman bent down to clean up the floor because I made a little bit of a mess because my hands sometimes spasm, and the bagel went flying across the room. Anyway,
okay.
So she was cleaning it up, and she had a thong on. Now, my husband says, should I be watching that or should I be? I felt so awkward in front of you. If I was alone, I probably would have watched the scenario, but she wasn't. So he just respected me and walked out of the shop and let me finish with the and then he came back in to grab the bag that I had.
Because she had a thong on?
Because she had a thong on, yeah. He felt embarrassed.
Oh, really?
In front of me.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because that reminds me of another discussion I had where guys feel that if the woman smiles, if somebody pays attention to her, he feels disrespected. And women feel the same way. So maybe he wanted to make sure that you weren't going to think of him as you know, being a gawker because she is married to you and walked out. Is that how you felt that he
yeah.
felt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't want to gawk at her and I be there. That would be insulting, you know, to me okay. and my relationship with him. Now,
oh.
that the other, yeah, you know, it's not fair. I mean, if I had a man there, would I do the same thing if I saw a thong on him? No. I'm sorry. I had to say it. I walked right into it.
No, I would say it wouldn't bother me. Let's say
no.
the guy, let's say at a beach bar, you know, and a guy had a great physique and he had on, you know, real skimpy bathing suit. And he bends over to pick up something. He's a waiter. And she starts looking at it, right at him. It wouldn't bother me.
It wouldn't
because,
bother you? Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, my husband
it wouldn't
be bothered, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because it's natural for men and women, even if they're married, to still have sexual feelings towards not only celebrities, but towards other real-life human beings. As long as you
yeah,
don't act
out. Yeah, he does, but he doesn't do it, you know, in front of me for whatever reason.
In front
reason.
Of you.
He feels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. So,
we really
Lori
do
Ann.
Have a great relationship.
I mean, yeah, it is. Seems that way. I mean, yeah. Lori Ann, what do you
yeah.
feel? I mean, you're in a club, right? You're with a guy. Drunk comes over, pats your ass. What are you going to do?
My expectation for the man that I'm with is to kind of have my back, like be on the ready. Allow
mm-hmm.
me to respond to it, you know, and handle it. But then if the guy gets, you know, more aggressive toward me, you know, then the guy that I'm with should be, you know, on the ready to come to my defense if needed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Give me the opportunity to handle it, you know. I mean, if the guy comes and, you know, squeezes my butt, I might, you know, punch him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
now remember now, I'm saying the guy. Yeah, I'm saying the guy is drunk. Okay.
All the more reason to be on the ready because drunk people do stupid stuff. You know,
oh,
drunk
yeah,
people
do.
Get more aggressive sometimes. You know that kind of thing. So, you know, if I respond, you know, I'm like, hey, what the hell are you doing? You know, maybe I smack him
mm-hmm.
across the face. Push him away from me, you know, do something physical
okay.
back to him to let him know, you know, hey, get your hands off me. You know, this is, you know, you violated me. And then if that
mm-hmm.
drunk guy gets even more aggressive, you know, then, yeah, my guy should step up. I have that expectation. He should be on the ready to defend me
okay.
if it escalates. Kind of a thing. You know, if the guy walks away after that, like, you know, never mind, blah, 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 and walks away, then fine. I didn't, you know, everything's all good. But you just don't know what a drunk person's going to do. And so, yeah, I do have an expectation for a man to be a man and come to my defense when needed.
All right. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Now, before I give you what I would do,
well, here's the one thing.
I'm
so sorry. I got to leave. Got to start the other show.
Well, no problem. If you know, hopefully you'll download the show and you'll find Words of Wisdom.
Oh, yeah, I will. Don't think I won't download the rest of the show.
Okay. Well, good luck on the show. I'm glad you showed up, Suzanne. Okay?
You're welcome. Anytime.
So am I.
I'm not
good
a co-host, or am I an engineer? Thank you.
Yeah.
For
well, to
in,
me,
right?
you're not an engineer. To me, you're a co-host. So, I mean, even with Frank,
that's how
you're
I
a co-host.
Feel. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So, all right. So, I'll see you when I see you, Suzanne, if I go, when I go next time I show up on the show.
Okay. Okay, great.
What
take
is your
care,
show,
right?
by the way?
Oh,
what
let
is
me
your
mention
show?
It. It's Inner Sight Freedom. It's mostly a disability talk show, but we incorporate other things in there. We have an open mic night and things like that. We have a Matter of Glad evening, and tonight is the nursing home show, one of my favorites. Not anyway, I just wanted to get rid of all these nursing homes.
Yeah, I'll promote the show near the end of my show, Suzanne, so don't worry
okay,
about
no
it.
Problem.
The Inner Sight Freedom show. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And you have a great night.
Sure.
Both of you.
You too. Glad you shook it up.
Okay. Thank you.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
I thought it was just going to be Joe and I, and then he and I was getting a big fight, and it would be on air, and nobody else
that's
on
coming.
To help mediate.
That's coming. Download the show, Suzanne.
Because
my response to this particular situation about her expectations.
There's not enough drama.
Wait. Yeah. Oh man. All right. So here's my thing. I wanna preclude what I'm about. You know what my reaction would be with the drunk by asking both of you, whoever you know, if Suzanne, if you're still here, if you're not. Then you can download it. But Lorianne, anybody else who's listening, you may want to call in.
Lorianne can take this one, I guess. I'm going to actually help
okay.
us because I got to start it 15 minutes in advance. Otherwise, I... it's a
little
okay. past 15 minutes. So, yeah. Let me
All right.
start it up. Take care, guys. Have
take
a good
care,
day.
Suzanne. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Have a great one.
So, here... Now, if you are having, let's say you smoke some weed or you're a little bit high and you've got your boyfriend inside your house, but he's done something which pisses you the fuck off and you are in front of him and you're waving your finger at him. Now, this may or may not be your normal behavior, but let's say it is at this particular time because of either weed or alcohol, you're pissed off. Or maybe not even because of weed or alcohol. You're just pissed off. Or let's say any woman who is in this situation, who is in front of her boyfriend, waving the finger at him and, you know, calling him names, telling him he's an SOB, saying he's responsible for whatever situation that is disturbing her. Now, he wants to leave, okay? You're preventing him, or she is preventing him from leaving. He wants to get out of her house. She's preventing him because she's stepping in front of him. Every time he takes a step to the left, a step to the right, she's preventing him. What do you expect him to do? Oh, what do you think the normal
scenario,
woman would
that's
expect?
That's controlling behavior, number one. Not allowing somebody to leave when they want to leave, especially, you know, if I'm flying off the handle and, you know, they have every right to leave and then come back later after I've calmed down, that sort of thing, then, you know, if she is physically in his way, keeps getting in his way, preventing him from leaving, then... I think he has the right to get her out of his way, you know, not overly do it, you know, but, you know, not give her a big shove, but to physically, you know, if it means, you know, taking her by the arm and moving her out of the way so that he can leave, I think that's justified. I don't think that that's physical abuse. I think that that is just, you are, you know, you're preventing me from leaving, you know, you are encroaching on, you know, my freedom. And so if he needs to physically get her out of the way, then that's totally justified. You know, not like
okay.
punching her in the face or, you know,
right.
whacking her around, or, you know, going, you know, all flying off the handle. That is abuse. But, you know,
yeah,
only enough force needed in order to get her out of the way so that he can leave and get out of the situation while everything is so hot and come back later when things have calmed down, and then you can work out whatever the problem is.
Okay, I happen to agree with him, and I think that in some instances, a woman still, you know, will still be very, very defiant, and he has the right to, of course, be as gentle as possible, but to push her out of the way. With enough force to separate them by 4, 5, 6 feet so that he can actually get to the door. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those, you know, use necessary force, you know, only the force which is necessary to get the person out of the way. And if you're in a, if a guy is with a woman that is that prone to flying off the handle like that and showing that kind of controlling behavior, then he needs to rethink whether or not he wants to be in that relationship. You know, if, because that's obviously a red flag. I think it's better, you know, it's better to leave a situation when the, when it's nothing but arguing, anger, you know, you it's impossible to truly listen to somebody when you're pissed off and angry, you know. Your ears and mind are shut off to logic. You're in the throes of emotion and anger. Nothing good is going to come of it. By staying in that situation, sometimes just exiting the situation and come back later. Maybe it's 20 minutes, and you know that gets into another agreement. Like, you know, one of my past relationships, we both agreed that, hey, you know, if we get in an argument with each other and we're pissed off with each other, or you're pissed off at me, I'm pissed off at you, whatever, and we're in the heat of the moment, we both agreed that when we leave, we will come back in like a half hour. That way we don't feel abandoned. You're not leaving the other person wondering, you know, are you going to be out at the bar until 3 o'clock in the morning? Doing whatever, but we made an agreement like, okay, let's, you know, we'll exit the situation, but we both agree that we'll come back within a half an hour. We'll let things calm down and then we'll talk about it. That's what we did, you know, when we've gotten in a heated argument, be like, okay, it's time to walk away. You know, this is not going to accomplish anything and things aren't getting anywhere. We both need to calm down. You know, I leave or you leave, whatever, but we'll be back in a half an hour and regroup, calm down, and figure out a solution to the problem.
Good. That's making sure that both people have expectations about what will happen in case a certain situation pops up and what to do about it, okay, with an agreement. And with regards to the woman who is being very defiant, physically defiant, you're saying – if she absolutely will not let him get to the door, blocking every move that he makes, that he has the right to grab her by the arm, maybe not strongly enough to leave a bruise, but to take physical measures with her to get her out of the way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Okay. So, and if she's even more defiant, I bring in, push her out of the way, so that he can get to the door. I think you've agreed with that too. But the major thrust of this particular situation is to leave, but without harming her. Correct? If possible.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Now, the reason why I bring
up. And it works both ways too.
Yeah.
You
now,
know,
the reason why I bring up.
Guys do that with me. You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what did you do?
You know, then I had to try to get physical. You know, the guy's bigger than me, obviously, so it's not as easy for me to do. But, yeah, I've had that happen where the guy is the one that's preventing me from leaving, locking the door, not letting me, you know, and then I'd try to, like, just go in the bedroom, you know. Just, okay, fine,
yeah.
Like, let me just go into the bedroom and be by myself. I want to be away from you. And then following me into the bedroom, not leaving me alone, not respecting the fact that, you know, hey, I don't want to argue with you right now. I don't even want to look at you right now. And, you know, violating my right to control my own space. And so, yeah, you know, I had to physically push him out of the way so that I could actually leave. You know, and then, of course, he's pulling my arm, trying to keep me from leaving. And so I'm having to push harder, you know. And then finally, I'm able to make my way out. But then, like I said, with the agreement, you know, I'm leaving, you know, I'll be back in a half hour.
Be back in a half hour. Okay. All right.
Yep. So I've had that happen with me, too. You know, thankfully, I'm not a small woman. You know, I'm not, you know, buck 25, you know, 5 foot woman or whatever. You know, so I have a little bit more strength to me, you know, than a lot of other women would, you know, but then, you know, with that scenario, you know, then it's like, okay, come back in a half an hour and be like, okay, dude, you don't do that to me. You know, you have to agree that if I need to leave, if I need to exit the situation because we're in a fight and I'm angry and I want to get away from you, I have every right to do so and you cannot block me. You have to agree to that. And if you ever do that again, then I will break up with you. We're not having a repeat of this, you know, putting my foot down. And if you're not willing to agree to that, you know, then we're done. You know, that's one of those scenarios where I believe an ultimatum is absolutely justified because, you know, I am establishing a boundary, establishing my right to physically leave if I want to, and I will absolutely end the relationship if that behavior continues, you know, and it works both ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, the reason why I bring up that particular situation before answering the one about the club is because here's what I would do in the club. Chick is with me. Right now, let's say she's my girlfriend. Or, girlfriend or even just a date, doesn't matter. A drunk comes along to her ass, right? In your mind, you've said that you wanted to handle it yourself. But if it escalates, you expect a man to jump in to be the man, which means to fight. What I would do is the guy's drunk. I would take you and me, and I would move down to the other end of the bar. Why? Because I'm the one that's going to have to end up in a fight with 99% of the women saying, well, you're the man. You know, you got to defend me. It's my honor. He patted my ass. What are you going to do about it? That's what I'm going to do about it. If I can push you out of the way, or let's say some other woman out of the way in a situation where she's up in my face and I can handle her by pushing her out of the way, right? Then I can take her in the situation in the bar and push her out of the way and take her and me to a safer place. Now, if the drunk is going to be very, very persistent, then what I'm going to do is call the manager. Why? I've been in fights. Most chicks haven't, except for hair pulling when they've been teenagers, something like that. When a man gets into a fight, especially when you're up against either one, two people, I've intervened in five situations which could have escalated out of control into those situations becoming street fights. Just because I was smart. But I've been in fights, men when they're in fights, and if you're in a fight with somebody who knows how to fight, and if you know how to fight, guarantee, okay, unless you're really, really good at street fighting or no martial arts, both people are going to get hurt like you wouldn't believe, okay? Bloody eyes, bloody nose, teeth knocked out.
Hold that thought for just a second. I just looked up, and there is a minute and 15 seconds left of the live broadcast.
That's all.
So if you are out there listening, call in now, 646-478-5284. Call in within the next minute so that you can continue to participate and listen in to the show before the live show ends as we go into overtime. So, okay, continue. Sorry to interrupt. Just wanted
no
to
problem.
Throw that out there since we only got 45 seconds
now,
left of the live show for people to call in.
All right, so promote your show in the last 45 seconds. Goes in my clock, it has 3 minutes left. Go ahead, promote your show on Sunday.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Laurianne, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Every Sunday, we talk politics. And everything else under the sun. So feel free to join in, call in, listen in on Sunday.
Okay, good. And I'm sorry, Suzanne. Inner Sight Freedom comes on every night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Suzanne is the co-host, And it's about disabilities, and it's about mainly getting rid of nursing homes so that the disabled can better care. The thrust of their show is about how the disabled should be better treated by the government and have more money set aside so that they can have better access to, you know, whatever so-called normal people have. Oh, damn, I hope we didn't go into overtime doing that. Shit.
Yep. The live broadcast is now over, so we are now into the bonus hour that's part of the show recording.
I'm sorry, Suzanne. Fuck. My clock's had 3 minutes left, so all right. In any case, okay, so now we're in overtime. So that's what I would do. And if she downloads the show, well, hopefully other people download the show. Well, anyway, you allowed her to give her promotion as well on the air before she left. So
yep.
That's what I would do. I would call the manager because I don't give a fuck about defending a girl's honor unless she's attacked. If there are ways, if I'm supposed to gently take care of a situation without hurting her, then I can try to gently take care of a situation without hurting me. I am not a knight in a a shiny knight on the white horse, unless she is attacked. Like I said, the guy's drunk, doesn't know what he's doing. And yet the guy could be more persistent. But drunks, yeah, you can generally handle. I mean, in a fight, you can generally handle, but sometimes they just want to pick up a glass or a bottle, break it, and shove it in your face. But the better way to handle it is to call the manager. They're supposed to have bouncers, or the manager's supposed to take care of it. I don't get hurt. She doesn't get hurt. We move from one bar stool to another. To me, it's a win-win. Now, if she objects, then I know I got a drama queen on my hands. And that's where my boundaries come in. So, in other words, Chickie, you would rather take care of the situation, which would end up with you and the drunk getting into an argument, possibly slapping him, therefore prompting me, according to your expectations, to come to your defense, which means you step back and I either get my ass kicked or kick his ass or we both get hurt while you put your hand over your mouth and say, somebody do something. No. Well, I can take care of that situation.
That's not really what I said at all. You know, being on the ready is what I said. Be on the ready to defend me. Should it get escalated?
You
know, if that guy gets aggressive, and you're needed, then that's what my scenario. If there's another way, if that guy isn't getting aggressive, and escalating things, and you want to handle it that way, then that's also being on the ready and coming to my defense is removing, helping to remove me and yourself from an escalating situation or possibly escalating situation. That I can see. However, my scenario in my head was there's this drunk asshole, that smacked me on the ass, pinched me on the ass. I react to it, probably by slapping him, maybe punching him, pushing him away from
me. All right, then let me interrupt.
That kind of thing.
Here. Yeah, I know.
Because he assaulted me. That's an assault on me. You know what I mean?
Lorianne,
so I have every right to defend
Lorianne,
myself against it.
I know. I want to interrupt. I know. But here's the thing. If that's an assault, but the assault could be handled in the way that I wanted to handle it. The pinch on the ass, technically, legally nowadays, is an assault. But it's not worth my ass getting kicked, and it's not worth it for you to turn around and say, especially with your boyfriend there. Okay, now, if the boyfriend wasn't there, you can slap him and hope that other people come to your rescue, especially if it's a loud situation. But suppose it's just you, the drunk, a guy and a girl in the club. Are you going to seriously? Because you said that the drunks can get dangerous. They can become more violent. Are you seriously, without anybody else there, no boyfriend beside you, you seriously going to turn around and slap the guy?
I very well might, yeah.
Then you're going to get your ass kicked.
I'm expecting to be assaulted, and my reaction could very well be just like instinctual. Smack them, push them, whatever, away from me. You know what I mean? Like, without even thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would probably be my reaction.
Okay. And that would be
I've had a situation like that happen at a club. We're dancing or whatever, and this drunk asshole comes up behind me, grabs my hip, and starts, like, you know, rubbing his junk on my butt.
Right.
And my reaction was I turned around and I smacked him in the face and pushed him away from me. Get the fuck away from me. You know, and I was with my girlfriends at the time. I didn't have a boyfriend at the time, you know, but get the hell away from me. Thankfully, he did. You know, but I've had that happen.
Well,
like, that was my initial reaction. I'm like, you know, you're not going to do this to me, you know. I turn around, and that was my instant response.
Okay. Now, suppose in our culture where, you see, now, you know, if a girl slaps a guy, now you can watch the Jerry Springer Show, you can watch other shows on TV, you can watch in real life this happening. If in our culture it's not acceptable for a man to be slapped without punching back, okay? But if it was acceptable, you see, a woman knows she slaps a guy, most likely, unless he's really, you know, high or if he's a complete asshole, he's not going to react in a way that's going to punch her in the face and knock her down, like, unless it's at home with a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. But in a public place, generally that doesn't happen. Girl slaps a guy. The guy takes it, might get verbal with the chick, might walk away, might, threaten the girl, but doesn't react physically. Okay, now, if our culture was different, where the girl knows if she slaps boyfriend or stranger, the guy's going to knock her out, she's not going to do that. But in our culture today, she can do that because she feels free that the guy's not going to react physically. But going back to my being the guy in the situation, knowing what girls can do, I wouldn't want you to handle it, okay? Because you just might, the generic you, just might slap the guy. Now, because I'm there, he doesn't want to look like a pussy. So he's either going to punch you or he's going to punch me or try to punch you or try to punch me. Me? Get you out. It's a drunk now. Now, if it's a guy who I feel is just trying to be a complete asshole, right, I still don't want you to handle it because you could escalate it. But I will get in front of him and I'll say, hey, you don't do that. You don't touch her. You don't touch anybody. Now, if he attempts to punch me, then it's on. But if he wants to jaw with me, right, I'm not going to punch him. I'll go get the manager. Why? Again, I value my life. I've intervened in five potential fights. I've seen stoppings that I don't know if you've seen, but I have seen some stoppings. And my health is important to me, not the opinion of some girl that's not my wife. So those are my philosophies.
Yeah, but, even when you're talking, you even said that you would probably give him a verbal warning. You don't do that. That's still coming to my defense. When I said come to my defense, that doesn't necessarily have to mean getting a bar fight. It means just being there, you know, like you said, warning the guy, you know, hey, you don't do that. That's inappropriate. Back off. You know, and then if he doesn't back off, then like you said, then you would want to try to go to the manager. You'd want to try to get me physically away from him, go to the manager,
yep.
Say, hey, manager, this guy is, you know, groping my chick here, he's being belligerent. You might want to kick him out, bring it to that attention. That's fine. That's still coming to my defense. You see what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have you just punch the guy in the face, you know, and start a physical fight, a bar fight. Coming to my defense just means, and being on the ready to come to my defense just means exactly that. You know, you are presenting yourself, as another opponent.
Yeah,
you know, like
I'm there.
You're,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
not going to let them just continue to pick on me. You know what I mean? Physical barrier, you're warning him, knock it off, that kind of thing. That's
mm-hmm.
still coming to my defense.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're still different than the vast majority of women who would want me to automatically either start the fight or allow her to just make a scene so that I would be forced to have to come in. And if I took her out of the situation by going down to a few bar stools down the road, down the road, then she would feel as though I'm not coming to a defense, that her honor is still not being protected. So that's just the way females are. And I'm sure that you know girlfriends who are like that. Or who were like that when you were dating.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely women out there that are drama addicts. And they will sometimes, there's women out there that will sometimes purposely create these situations, especially when they
yeah.
know that they're with a man that tends to be more possessive, that kind of thing. They know that their boyfriend is a very possessive person. And so they know that they can easily instigate a fight, that kind of thing. I know we all know that there are women out there that are like that. They're drama addicts, like you said. That's why, there's a lot of women that I don't get along with for that very reason. It's like, oh, my God, you're just too much drama for me to handle. Oh, my goodness. I can see why, men get frustrated, and some of the expectations that, especially that, women have nowadays, in the dating world. Like, I've been absent from the dating world for, like, a decade, right? For a reason. And, when I'm talking to guys, Jim Clark, for example, or some other guys, and they're telling me about, some of the women that they go on dates with and their expectations, really unreasonable expectations, I'm going, oh, my God. I really feel sorry for men nowadays, having to deal with this stuff, when you're dating, especially when you're a little older, and you're dating a single mother, let's say she has two or three kids, and you're going out on a first date, and she expects the guy to not only pay for her meal, but to also pay for a couple of co meals for the kids and pay for the babysitting and, all of that. I'm like, oh, my God, like, what, why are there so many strings attached? What
yeah.
possibly mm-hmm. makes you think, it's your choice to go out on the date. He's paying for your meal or whatever, fine, but it's like, if you have to get a babysitter, and all of that, then that's your responsibility. They're your kids, it's not his,
mm-hmm.
you need to handle your crap on your end, right? It's nice enough for the guy to offer to pay for your meal. But even that shouldn't be expected. When I did date, I would always offer to split the bill on a first date, and I'm like, hey, we can split it if you want. It's cool. No, I want to, I asked you out for dinner. I want to take you out for dinner. I want to pay for it.
That's
okay,
one of my
great,
situations also. Yeah, I'll talk
but
about that in a
minute. But at least offer.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just lost my train of thought. So, yeah. I want to let people know this is not a female bashing show. I'm talking from my perspective as a male. In the future, if any women want to call in and talk about their bad experiences with men, not a problem. There are scumbags out there. I'm talking people who are men who are narcissistic, extremely selfish themselves, manipulative. They and women should avoid them at all costs. But talking from my perspective, these are the situations that I've been in or have wanted and have avoided. So, again, if any woman downloading the show and future shows, if you have situations about bad men, call on in. As long as you have a rational opinion, I'm open to it. If you have a rational response to a situation, I'm open to it. Okay? So, and going back to this situation you just presented about picking up the check. If a woman, I've talked to women about this. What if she offers and the guy says, cool, sure, we can either split it, or if the girl offers, how about if I pick up you're into. Now the guy says, yeah. Now remember, the girl offered. Guy says, yeah. Women I've talked to said, no, he shouldn't have done that. No, he asked her out. He's, he's either meeting her or he took her to the place. He should be a gentleman and refuse. And I've had discussions with them on that. I say, no. If she's supposedly a responsible adult, knowing which, how an adult should act, and she should be held accountable for her actions, and if she's offered, then hey, why can't I believe that she's offering in an authentic manner? So the dating world for both men and women, it can be complicated, and it shouldn't be. But based upon why relationships fail, because of trauma, because of selfishness, a lot of times the trauma that we have, we're not even aware of the reasons why we are the way that we are. We're afraid of rejection. We want to dominate. We're afraid of being sensitive, especially men, because if we're sensitive, then the person that we are either in love with or falling in love with, and if they reject us as a result of our sensitivity, our vulnerabilities, because we're not, quote-unquote, manly enough, how many, probably millions of men have undergone that particular type of situation? It's incredible. I've read about men who have undergone that type of, I would call it, everyday mini trauma. Here you are presenting yourself as a sensitive guy, talking about something which is bothering you, seriously bothering you, and the girl acts like it's nothing, and not only acting like it's nothing, she's giving you the impression that you're somehow less than a man for feeling anxiety or fear. This dating world out here is fucked up.
From what I hear, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And I think, going back to your scenario where it's like, okay, and we're talking first date scenario, and I offer to pay for it, and the guy takes me up on it, then great, fine. Hey, cool, right on, And then how about, if we're going to go on a second date, then you pay next time, I'll pay this time. Things go well, then you ask me out on a second date and you pay for it. Take turns, or a lot when I was dating, if the guy was paying for the meal, I would be like, well, at least let me get the tip, let me contribute something. Let me get the tip. If you have to, if you have to pull over at the gas station to get some gas, let me pay for gas. Let me contribute something to this date. Or I've had it happen where, okay, we're going out to he's paying for going out to like a club or something. There's a cover charge. He's paid for, you know, a few drinks and whatnot, and then let's say after that we're going to go out to eat somewhere and be like, okay, well, you paid for this stuff, let me pay for dinner, you know, or vice versa. Because I kind of feel myself personally, on a first date, both people should contribute. You know, if the first date is about getting to know each other, you don't know if there's going to be a second date. You know, so I think that it should be more of a, you know, both people contribute to it, because you don't really, you know, I don't think that I can reasonably expect a man to foot the bill for everything on a first date, to invest that much into a first date as a get to know you kind of a thing. I mean, that's a hell of an investment, especially now. You know, if it was 30 years ago and things were a hell of a lot cheaper and more easily able to be afforded, that'd be, you know, that's a different scenario. But when we're looking at 2024 with inflation as high as it is, with the, you know, groceries, everything at restaurants has gone up. It's crazy. You know, it's fucking $18 for a hamburger and fries. I mean, you know, it is way more of an investment dating now, you know, to pay mm-hmm. for dinner, you know, and especially going to the movies. Going to the movies used to be cheap, you know, but now it's like for two people to go to a movie and get some popcorn, you're forking out $60. I mean, you know what? You know, I don't expect anybody to have to go broke, you know, to pay for a first date, put it that way. And so I just think that, you know, that first date scenario, I think it's important for both people to be willing to contribute in some way. If the guy wants to pay for the majority of it, the more expensive part of it, and then, you know, I contribute by paying for the tip or helping out with gas or, you know, paying for the movie tickets or whatever, you know, allow me to be able to contribute to the first date too. And then let's see how the second date goes. And, you know, and then, If the guy really likes me a lot and he wants to, like, pay for everything on the second date, great, you know. Or, you know, wants to continue to split it, whatever. I think, you know, you can work those things out and, like, not think less of the other person in the process. I think that it's actually more freeing to actually, you know, I think that would be a first date gone very well. It speaks a lot about the person to, at the very get-go, you know, be able to, like, hey, here's what I think. Here's, you know, what do you think? Let's come to this agreement. And, okay, great, now it's freeing. Now, you know, now we know exactly what to expect. You know what I mean? We've both agreed to it. We know what to expect. Now we can continue to do it, to enjoy the date, because we got the money part taken care of. Does that make sense?
Well, it does to me. It does to most men nowadays, but to most women, no. If you watch YouTube videos of women on YouTube, they still want to be treated like princesses, and paying for dates, splitting dates is something that's most likely going to be out of the question. But it's too bad, because from what I'm understanding, and not only here but in Japan, I forget the name of the movement, there are people, guys in particular, 18 to 25, who've just removed themselves from the dating situation in Japan, where I guess they've become over-Westernized. It used to be the woman was, if not on a secondary basis with the man, you know, one step behind him or so. Nowadays, the women are supposedly equal in all regards, right? But the men have removed themselves because the traditional women and the modern women here in America, they expect too much and don't contribute. You know, if I have another show, what I would want to talk about, what do women bring to the table? And I've seen YouTube videos where women will talk about men shouldn't even ask that question. What do you bring to the table? What I bring to the table is myself, in very vague terms. Anyway, there was a relationship counselor who had a program on BTR. Listen to this. I might have said this on shows where you might have done. She's talking about how men should be grateful now, for the fact that they have a woman, not only a woman, if the woman is very good looking, the man should be especially good. So I am, and this particular relationship counselor, there's about three or four that were on BTR. Not many of them are on anymore. I haven't seen them. But she was a very very pleasant person, this one, particular counselor. So I say to her, what do women bring to the table? If men are supposed to be grateful to have a particular woman, what is it that he should be so grateful about? Take a guess, and you probably are guessing, what is it that she said that women bring to the table that men should be grateful for?
I can imagine any number of things. Just like, I am gracing you with my presence, you know?
There you go. It was
you should be absolutely, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. I am gracing you with my presence, and so you should appreciate
it,
you know?
She said it in this way. She said, I bring the beauty. Which is the same thing, gracing you with my presence, you know? So, yeah, that's it. All I have to do is show up, and you are to be grateful. Do I have to contribute anything? No, because I'm virtuous. Oh, yeah, the show we were on last night, Miss Inez, remember that guy, Sergeant Parks?
Yeah.
He has a daughter called LaQuisha. Now, on Inez's show, I brought up these particular situations and talked about what I would do and the situation between men and women nowadays. LaQuisha Parks, because she's not married, she says, now she didn't like my particular philosophies. So, being passive aggressive, she comes back on another show and she reads off, I forget if it's her opinion or it's an opinion that was in an article. But she reads off about how women are so virtuous. They were born virtuous. And the man who goes to bed with this virtuous woman and then leaves her is robbing her of her virtue. So she went on a 5-minute monologue about this. So there are women out there, okay, who would not agree with you. Because the vast majority of women believe in what this relationship counselor believes. I show up, I am gracing you with my presence, even though my beauty is all made up with foundation, mascara, lipstick, bat wings, etc. You're lucky, especially if I'm a 9 or a 10 or an 8. But that's going to be the thrust of, if I have another show, it'll be on relationships about what is it women bring to the table versus what men bring to the table. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it is a complicated situation out here. And men, and I was talking about the guys over there in Japan, the guys here in America, there's a movement where guys are not dating. They're just refusing to date. They refuse to approach women. One of the reasons why is because at work, years ago, you could meet women at work, it was called being, hanging around the water cooler. And you could have a drink afterwards, actually get to know somebody, and maybe formulate a relationship. Nowadays, you can't compliment a woman on her shoes because that woman will report you as having done some sort of sexual assault, okay, to HR. So men are just avoiding the whole bullshit. Have you seen and heard about the
and
situation?
And I can't blame
them.
You know what? To be honest with you, I can't blame them one bit. I think it's gotten totally ridiculous. You know, it's like a man can't, a man has to. My sister, actually, this is a good example that happened recently.
Yeah, but
before you go into that,
I wanted to bring up something just before you started that. I wanted to finish this about another situation where men can't even go to gyms. Have you seen the videos? You can't go to gyms. You look at a woman who's dressed up very sexily now, okay, in a athletic outfit which reveals her, and she's got him on YouTube now. Doesn't know who he is, but now calling him a creep. So, you know, so go ahead with your situation.
Yeah, kind of like the whole, you know, if you don't want to be gawked at, you know, then probably, you know, yeah, there's, it's like, the way you dress kind of opens up the door for being gawked at, you know.
Well, no woman should
so
be
totally
gawked
get that
at,
as
to
well.
Tell you the truth. Okay, no woman should be gawked at. But what also came to mind, I'll let you get back to what you and your sister, what you were going to talk about with your sister, is now there's a woman on YouTube who complains now, right, that she was trying to get a guy's attention in the gym, he didn't look her way, and now she's complaining about, why didn't he look at me? Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah,
now, go ahead with
the... Yeah, it's a catch-22. You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, it's like, what? But,
man.
Yeah, like, with my sister, you know, my point was that, you know, men feel like they have to tiptoe to proceed with caution just to compliment a woman. And I think that's ridiculous, and that's what happened with my sister. She went to the grocery store. You know, she's just shopping, and, you know, there's a couple of guys probably, you know, 20 years younger than her.
Is that the manipulative one? Is that the one you've talked about before? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but, you know, they came up to her, and they barely, like, you know, please, I hope that you won't be offended or anything by us saying so, but we think that you're, you know, an incredibly beautiful woman, and we just wanted to compliment you. But so they had to be, like, all meekish, you know, and, like,
yeah,
tread, like I said, tread carefully just to compliment my sister because they thought that she was a beautiful woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's where we're at today, you know, and that's really sad. That's honestly really sad that guys, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, there's a difference between, you know, the whole scenario of, you know, walking past a construction crew of guys and have them whistling and, you know, yee-hawing over you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between that and a guy simply seeing a woman that he thinks is beautiful and complimenting her as such. You know, just like, hey, I think that you're a very attractive, very good-looking woman. I just wanted you to know that. If you haven't gotten a compliment today, you know, let this be your compliment today, you know, and having some tact about it. Like, there's a big, huge difference between those two scenarios, for sure. And I feel really bad for guys in the dating world because just these women are just insane to me. You know, I see some of this stuff, too, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, no wonder why guys don't want to date, you know. I wouldn't want to date. If I was a guy, I wouldn't want to date here and now in 2024 with the insanity going on in women's minds. To me, it makes no sense at all.
Well, you can date, but you have to date with boundaries set aside and with rules. For me, it's almost always Dutch. Now, if I invite you out and we're going to meet at a nice and expensive place with drink, a sandwich or something, you know, I might offer. But it's always going to be Dutch from then on, okay? Because as you were talking about, which I know from 30 years ago, the prices then, you know, and the prices now, I'm not spending that kind of money on somebody I don't know. If I know you and I want to show you that I like you, hey, I can buy you dinner. I can buy you gifts. I can send you cards. I can show you. I don't know you, and I want to make sure that you're there because you want to know me and not because you want a free dinner. Those are my motivations. Yeah, and it's hard on guys and for the women, they're complaining on, I don't go to TikTok, but they're complaining on YouTube. I wish I didn't divorce my husband, the dating world, or guys don't approach me anymore. There's videos about guys aren't even helping anymore. And I don't blame them. You know, I don't blame them. I'm not talking about the women. I'm talking about the guys.
Yeah,
not
it's kind of like we're suffering from our own, you know, women have created this scenario Women in general, not every woman, but, you know, women have created this conflict, and now they're complaining about the world that they created. You know, it's like if you didn't overreact to these things, if you didn't have these unreasonable expectations, if you weren't feeling so, you know, entitled, then, you know, then we wouldn't be where we're at, where men don't know what to do anymore, what's appropriate. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, like we were saying earlier. And so I can totally understand why men are frustrated with it. And then there's me, you know, and I'm going, Jesus, you know, why would I ever want to be that way? Why would I want to be that difficult, that high maintenance? Why would I want to be that, a type of person that a guy, just about any guy, wouldn't want to deal with? You know, it's like, it's a turnoff to me, you know, that whole thing is a total turnoff. You know, you want to get a second date with a guy, well, you know, you need to, you know, have an attitude check.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so easy for girls, but because of trauma, and a lot of times the trauma that happens to women, as, you know, to boys, to guys, it's not their fault. They don't even know what's going on in the deeper recesses of their mind that's causing girls to fuck up relationships. But it's so easy for a girl to get a guy. Now, the question might be, well, yeah, you know, but is he the guy I want? Which now begs the question, what kind of guy do you really want? Is that guy your hero in the back of your mind? Is he the Hercules that Walt Disney has drummed into you? Or can you accept the normal good guy? A guy can accept the normal woman. You see, we're so easily pleased. All you have to do is be reasonably intelligent, okay, reasonably friendly, pay attention when we talk, and we pay attention to you, cut out the drama, be good in bed, and you got him. You're not causing drama. You're giving him peace. You're relatively good looking. You're interesting in the conversational realm, and you're good in bed. What the fuck is so hard about that? Trauma, which causes women and men to fuck up their relationships. I mentioned way before at the beginning of our podcast about fear of rejection. People are so afraid of rejection that they will actually create the rejection themselves because they don't want to be rejected by him or by her. Then they'll create the situation that will force him or her to reject the person. And that doesn't make sense, but in their own mind, because the trauma is not supposed to make sense, it's supposed to protect you from being rejected by him. At least now you're creating a situation, you're in control, you're prompting him to reject you. So you're in control. Does it make sense? Hell no. That's not supposed to make
it's
sense.
If you sabotage it, then you're still in the driver's seat. You know, that absolutely makes sense. And you know what? And because it's a trauma, you know, a lot of times that, you know, we've talked about the trauma scenario. A trauma response a lot of times is completely unconscious as well. Like you might not even realize that, you know, your behavior, or your attitude, or what you're doing, how you say it, how you're interacting with that person is actually sabotaging it. You're deliberately sabotaging it, but it's unconscious. It's a response to a trauma, and you have to be self-aware enough to recognize it when it rears its ugly head.
Yeah. And getting back to the sense of entitlement for a second, because I remember I was listening to a woman who was on the phone with her girlfriend, right? And she was her girlfriend, not a guy. And she was blaming the girlfriend for allowing this girl that I was listening to, right, for getting drunk at the club. She says, now, you knew I was getting drunk, but yet you kept on You allow me to drink more. You allow me to get drunk. Now, she's not doing it to a guy. She's doing it to a girlfriend. She's not accepting responsibility for her own actions. And a lot of times, women or men don't realize that that is what they are doing, that the behavior that they're exhibiting is stupid, but they don't realize that it is stupid. They're just thinking of, this bothers me, therefore it's wrong. Not it's this bothers me, and I did something to create this stupid situation. So that is something that both men and women have to learn. And that will go a long way to having men and women get along a lot better. But we are so easy to please. And when I hear about guys in droves here in America, not just Japan, leaving the dating scene, I'm saying, wow, man, it wasn't just a few people. It was mucho, buku, lots of men doing it because I'm saying that. So the stuff that I had to go through, especially when I was younger, they've gone through as well. Wow. I remember when I was younger, and I was always hanging out with guys who were good looking. And these guys always got the babes, and there was never any real problems, you know, and we had good times and all that kind of good stuff. I was the one that, of all the guys, I would have had more problems than they did. Now, of course, I didn't know all of them, you know, the extended circumstances that they went through with their girlfriends or in the dating game, but I'm sure that they had to go through a lot of bullshit that I went through, but I just never saw it on their part. But listening to guys talk about what they had to go through, I'm saying, so I'm not the only one, you know? And I wouldn't be surprised if I know that hundreds of thousands of guys have had similar philosophies as I've had. It could be even millions now. It's crazy. It's the dating situation is so nuts. But it's so easy to please a guy. But yet, women want to go with the jingle of happy life, happy wife, happy life. How about making your husband happy? Because if he's happy, he will definitely make you happy. But you gotta make me happy first. Okay, but what do you bring to the table?
Me.
Sorry, Chickie. I don't know.
Just pretty old me. That's it. That's all, I have to do is be there.
Ay.
No.
I know.
I think that we have to allow men to like be men. You know, we have to talk about what's in our nature. You know, I think that, you know, it's kind of in our nature, women. You know, it's in our nature to want to be the pursued, and it's in men's nature to be the pursuer, and women need to be able to allow men to do that. I am one of those women where I admit that, and I think that I've even talked with you about, you know, I think, remember, like, way back when I had told you, like, I am not the woman that's going to be texting you and calling you all the time, you know? If you want to talk to me, you can call me. I'll call you back, you know, or I'll reply to you if you text me. But I'm not going to be the one that, is going to be hounding you all the time. You pursue me kind of a thing.
That.
Like, not that we're dating or anything, but that's just how I operate. When it comes to dating, I will tell the guy, you know. You want to talk to me? Feel free to call me. Feel free to text me. Feel free to reach out to me. If you
now,
don't,
remember that. Yeah.
Then okay, walk away.
Yeah, but
I'm
most
not
women
be
are like
the one
that.
To hound you.
I know. Most women are like that. But when it comes to, and you already clarified it as I was trying to interrupt and get in my two cents was, the reason why you don't is because, you know, I don't want to have texts from BTR people. So that's why I have this particular number. I don't want to have constant texts or phone calls, okay? Because That's reserved for dating. That's reserved for women that you're going to have a deeper relationship with. So, yeah, so you know that I don't want, you know, constant text, phone calls, even on a platonic basis, because you know me well enough for that. So that's why, you know, you don't do it. And as you're referring to now in your own personal life with men who you know, you may be interested in, they have to pursue you. That is 95%, if not more, of the women in America, right?
But I think that's changing. See, what happens is it's like, it's almost like after the first date, the scenario changes, and it's all of a sudden like, what, like the woman suddenly like, okay, now.
Hello, what happened? Beastyard, you fucked up.
Hang on, my phone hung up. I gotta switch over.
Oh.
So hang on a minute. Right. I gotta switch my Bluetooth over. Since my phone decided. Thank you, T-Mobile.
My phone this time.
get connected.
How much time left? Oh, I got plenty of charge power left.
Okay. Come on. Okay, are you there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
All right, good. Okay. Yeehaw. And this is why.
That was fixed.
When I use
this is
direct,
why what? Oh, the direct connect?
I have the backup. But, of course, now it's a little choppy.
Okay. All righty. So,
and I'm going to again.
Well, you took care of that problem quickly because you were prepared for it. The thing is with relationships, the reason why I have the relationship shows as opposed to the political shows is because relationships are very integral to a man and a woman's emotional state. There is nothing more gratifying than being in love. Doesn't matter how many championships you've won. I have, as a kid, won championships as a captain of softball teams. At camp and at school. Basketball at camp, at school. Not at camp, but at school. And you feel good about it. The joy of victory is terrific, man, especially when you've gone from being the last one picked. And then, what's the matter? You got problems with the phone?
I'm still having problems. Yeah, my headset doesn't want to totally, it's all choppy on my end. So let me switch from my headset to something else. Sorry about this. One moment. Again,
I'll continue talking,
though.
I'll
switch over to my earbuds instead, and then hopefully I'll get a better connection.
Okay. So, again, there's nothing more beneficial to one's emotional health than being in a fulfilling relationship. Now, that doesn't mean if you're not in a fulfilling relationship that you're not content in some way. You're not going to commit suicide if you're not in a relationship unless you're really fucked up in the head. But there isn't anything better than that. You do notice how the blue in the sky is bluer, the clouds are not cloudier, but how they're more attractive, how nature and you commune much better, how you get along with other people better, how life just is a lot more easily navigated through by your being in love with that particular person, and a healthy love. Not a kind of love where you think you're in love with somebody or you believe that you were in love with somebody, but that other person doesn't love you back and is a manipulator or just doesn't reciprocate. So that's why I'm choosing relationships as opposed to politics, because this is the chit-chat show which can lead to solutions. One of the solutions which I have proposed as one of the topics of the show is how do you avoid a toxic relationship, okay? This is how. I've already referenced it before. I alluded to it. I haven't really referenced it completely, but I am now. You take out a piece of paper. with a person before you get into a relationship with them. This can also be done with somebody that you're dating as a sort of a prerequisite, sort of a vetting process. But before you get into a relationship, this is an absolute must for people who have undergone bad relationships and do not want to be trapped in them again. You take out a piece of paper, both you and she or she and you, and you write down what you like about each other, what you don't like, okay? And as I've said earlier in the program, you write out scenarios that you think might come up in the future, and you talk about them now. And you make boundaries. Both of you agree to those boundaries. If the other person violates those boundaries within a reasonable amount of time, I'm not talking about you make a boundary like you can't be late. So let's say she's late 6 times out of the year, okay? As long as she's not late getting on a plane, getting on a cabin cruise, something very, very important, you overlook it, okay? But if she's late and she agrees not to be late 3 times a week and she's late 4 times a week for a month, you ditch the bitch, okay? She has agreed to something which she is not fulfilling. Therefore, she has either lied to you or her trauma is overwhelming her to the point where she's creating an unhealthy scenario and you have to leave her. Should I help her, you might ask? You can do that. You can try to find out if you can help her. If that's the course that you want to undertake, then do so. But I don't think that you will be successful. I hope you will. Those who are listening, if you are successful by having changed somebody, I know I'll be glad to listen to whatever suggestions that you have. But that's it, the boundaries in particular. By having boundaries that he or she agrees to and she or he violates, you ditch the bitch, you ditch the bastard. You do not get caught up in trying to rationalize why he or she is not doing what he or she agreed to. This keeps you from having immense heartbreak. You will have disappointment. You will think about what the future could have been, but it's better to have your, it's better to undergo disappointment at the beginning, or let's say within 6 months of a relationship, than to undergo major heartbreak after being in a relationship for 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years without those agreements to find out that he or she is a bastard or a bitch. He or she can prove that they're a bastard or a bitch by complying to the boundaries that you two have agreed to. And that's how you avoid a toxic relationship. That doesn't mean, this is not advice as to how you can find a good one. With the attitudes, especially by women nowadays, with the sense of entitlement and sickness and trauma that they've undergone, I cannot give you good advice as to how to find one. You can't find them in church. You can't find them at Tabernacle. You can't find them in the mosque. You can't find them at the food kitchen. You can't find them even though they're working for charity organizations. Yes, on the outside, they're presenting good, superficial material, which is very attractive. It seems that could formulate the basis for a good relationship, but that doesn't mean that it is, because of trauma and selfishness. If two people, though, have morality, integrity, and a willingness to please each other, then the relationship will last. But how do you find those people? How do you find the trauma-free people? How do you find those who do have trauma but yet are willing to be show you appreciation, show you gratitude, be willing to accept responsibility for creating a situation within the relationship that is injurious to the relationship? How do you find them? I wish I could give you the quick answer, but I can't. And we only have 6 minutes until the end of the show. Lorianne, are you there? Have you fixed things?
I think I have. The audio on my end sounds okay. Hopefully I sound all right.
No, you sound okay. So it's only 6 minutes, and if you want to promote your show or have the 6 minutes with which you can use to talk about anything you wish to talk about, go right ahead.
Yeah, so just real quick, I'll promote my show, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann, right here on Blog Talk Radio, talking politics. You know, that should be indicative by the name of my show, Lucid Libertarian. It is on Sundays, every Sunday, provided that Blog Talk Radio is functional, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 hours live, and then the bonus hour, and then no man's land after that a lot of times. So be sure to tune in, put your political caps on, and feel free to listen. And then I'll go back to what you were saying about
Let me interrupt before I forget. Okay, let me interrupt. I am, for those who download the show or who have listened and have downloaded the show, I am Joe from Montana. My co-host was Lori Ann. And I already gave the number, but I'll give it again. Come here. There it is. 646-478-5284. The reason why I'm interrupting is because I want to let people know, if you like this show and you've looked for me and haven't found me, it's not a surprise. I mean, I will pop up, but I do not do shows often. I do shows on a regular basis. I do shows when I feel like it. So, but if you want more shows, then you can text, Laurianne, would you want to take text? Oh, I can give the mic text. I don't care. Nah. All right, let me give you my text. If you want more shows, you can text me. I don't want to. Yeah, all right. I don't think there'd be a lot of people.
Oops. Did I lose you? Hello? Hello, hello? I think it was Joe's turn to have his phone cut out on him. and since we are in the bonus hour, he can't call back in either. So, yeah, it looks like Joe's phone dropped on him. So I apologize for that, but we only have a few minutes left anyways. So I appreciate everybody that's tuned in and listened, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And hopefully Joe will do another show. I was going to say that I like the idea of having a topic focused more on like how to avoid toxic relationships, maybe some of the warning signs, the red flags that that people look for, so that they can hopefully avoid getting involved in a toxic relationship from the beginning, and that sort of thing. Also, I like a show topic talking about each other's traumas. I think, you know, different levels of traumas are normal life experience in some ways. They're, you know, to varying degrees. And so when you're looking for a romantic partner, or you're in a relationship with somebody, you know, being willing to talk about your past traumas and how you react to trauma, and then how to, that it's okay to ask your partner to be sensitive to that. You know, it's like, when I respond this way, then it's helpful for me to have you respond this way. Because sometimes you just don't know how to respond to a partner that's, you know, having a reaction. Where maybe you said something or did something that brings up a past trauma. And so sometimes that's part of working out a relationship as well, is getting to know what triggers somebody's trauma, how to avoid triggering it, and what to do when it is triggered. that is respectful of each other, you know, and will help things out. So all that being said, the show is now ended. So hopefully Joe and I will team back up again sometime and we'll continue the discussion. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great rest of your night.
We're happy it's finally here.
I had faith it was going to come up. The snow was going to come, but I'll take what I can get.
If you do decide to come up to the mountain resorts to make up for some lost time on the slopes, Brown has this advice.
Chains and traction tires are required, and please chain up in the designated chain-up zones on your way to Mount Hood Meadows.
In addition to chains and traction tires, resorts are telling customers to also bring a shovel. That's because even if you're away from your car for, let's say, an hour, snow can fall and bury your car while you're out having fun up on the lift and on the slopes. Now, when it comes to the future of this week, when it comes to skiing and snowboarding, Timberline will have at least two runs open. Mountain Meadows did say that they're not having any night skiing tonight, and Ski Bowl says they will open up for their night skiing on Thursday at 3 p.m. In Government Camp, Connor McCarthy, Foxville, Oregon.
There are plenty of ways to prepare for the cold snap we're expecting later this week, and one of those is getting your car ready. Foxville's Drew Marine spoke to the experts at Les Schwab about what you can do to make sure you don't get stuck on the roads.
If you're planning on driving later this week, you'll want to make sure you have the right tires, whether those are snow tires or studded tires or chains to put on. They also recommend having a weather kit ready to go. Tuesday night, parts of Portland and Southwest Washington got a dusting of snow, the first taste of winter we've had all season, and the metro area is gearing up for another round of freezing temperatures later this week. Les Schwab manager... customers, and their customers have been coming in early.
Now, yeah, November and December was kind of quiet compared to last year. We had that storm, but yeah, it's definitely ramping up. As soon as they say snow in the forecast, freezing temperatures for a couple of days, you get everybody at once.
If you're planning to hit the road, you have a few ways to get your car ready, like making sure you've got the right tires.
Snow tires are the best. You have a setup option also. So for ice, that would be a good selection for sure, especially up in the higher elevations where things are freezing. Snow tires are softer compound. So when you get into that below 32 degree weather, stay soft for you. So you have a contact point with that tire.
However, if you're not looking to get new tires, chains are always a reliable alternative, along with tire socks, which Turner says are another great option for cars with less clearance, like Teslas. You can also prepare by having a kit inside your car with all of the essentials.
And when it's cold, it takes more to crank over on the battery. If your battery does die, jumper cables. We have a severe weather kit here also. Shovels, gloves, things, you know, down the side of the road, emergency stuff.
If you're hoping to stop by Alessio Tire Center before this weekend, you're in luck. Turner says that you can pretty much walk in and walk out with whatever you need, whether that's chains or a severe weather kit. In Vancouver, Drew Marine, Fox 12 Oregon. Well, it's not just our cars. The cold temperatures can also put a strain on plumbing, and freezing temperatures can lead to ruptured water pipes. Here's a look at some damage that a pipe burst can leave behind. Last February, the issue had local firefighters racing around town. Ahead of the plunging temperatures, Portland Fire and Rescue shows Fox 12's Carly Olson how people can prepare and even fix some of these problems on their own. On Wednesday, we learned how important it is to know where your water valve access point is during a winter storm and how to identify it when it's buried under feet of snow. We also learned how to turn off your water in case the pipes crack due to frozen water. Portland Fire and Rescue responded to hundreds of water-related calls during the freeze event last February, and they want to make sure that people know how to fix the problems themselves and don't have to wait for Portland Fire and Rescue.
And go ahead, turn it down.
Rick Graves with Portland Fire and Rescue shows us the water valve outside of his own home.
That's it. No more water flow.
And how to turn it off with the help of a simple tool that he bought at his local hardware store.
So if you have a significant water leak, will cause you possibly relocation, thousands of dollars, you can spend 20 bucks and 20 minutes finding this and practicing, you're set.
He tells us that following last February's winter storm, Portland Fire and Rescue were responded to
the
cold
and I'll find home.
Over 30
hours
extensive.
Hello, my friends, and happy new year.
These emergencies are made quicker than we can respond.
The biggest impact is the freeze plus the fog.
Weather warms up. That ice weather, and the water under pressure begins to flow, and oftentimes flow inside of homes, underneath homes, and can cause a significant amount of damage.
Firefighter Cameron Holman recalls a particularly bad case.
We responded to a person's home who had left for vacation, decided to turn their heat off, you know, to save some money on their electricity, came home, turned on their heat, and flooded their basement. Entire basement, thousands of dollars in damage.
Also responded to calls of people slipping on the ice and getting injured, even breaking limbs.
Ice doesn't say that. It will come after folks of all ages. We appreciate New Year's to be helpful and exercise, but if you can put it off for a day or two, that makes our job a lot easier.
Salt. Shoveling walkways, covering any exposed out. The public to be self-reliant will certainly free up crews to devote more time to addressing major issues.
So if we can be reliable to respond to true emergencies that involve life, fires, car accidents, medicals, and you're able to address your water leak, you're going to succeed.
Graves also said it's important to put a marker on top of your water access point so that you know how to find it when it's buried under the snow. He suggested using a landscape flag or a heavy item that you know will go away. To find more of his tips, you can visit the web version of this story at cctv.com. Reporting in Beaverton, I'm Carly Olson, Fox 12 Oregon. As we track the incoming snow and cold, you can get the very latest forecast with the Fox 12 News app. You can also find live radar and check road conditions before you head out the door.
The 6 o'clock news is just getting started.
Still ahead, snow dangers, what crews out of Washington are doing to try to prevent a disaster in the snow.
Plus, sports shakeup, what's next for the season?
Seahawks head coach as he steps down from his current role. This Fox 12 programming is brought to you by LaRod Brothers. Save up to 70% on diamond earrings at LaRod's going out of business sale. LaRod's in Clackamas and Tigard.
4 years before you will make a surprise.